Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/FRE.
Hi, this is Beth Hennessy-Ski, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hello. Hello, hello. Hi, it's Michael O'Neill in for the gallivanting David Wood. I fully expect David to show up with a picture of him sitting on an elephant any day now. But my guess is that he's going to be back on Tuesday. That's my hope, is that we'll get to hear some awesome stories from Africa starting on Tuesday. So, until then, you're stuck with me on this Thursday, Valentine's Day, Kick-Ass Life show. So, hi, everyone. I hope you have a Valentine. And if not, then I hope that you're okay with it. That's really the second half of the puzzle, is being okay not having a Valentine. It's a very interesting holiday, isn't it? I think that the people that are in relationships have all kinds of, you know, can sometimes have weird expectations. And then people that aren't in relationships kind of want to be in relationships on Valentine's Day. Me, I'm very happy with my dog, Dexter. And being a new person here in San Diego, I'm meeting cool people and, you know, going on cool dates and things like that. What I thought I would share with you today, and I'm going to get into Valentine's Day a little bit, but I want to share the origin of the Kick-Ass Life and how this thing all came to be, which happened really 1 year ago today was the day we said, hey, we should totally do this. But until then, happy Valentine's Day. And, you know, if you're one of those people that doesn't have a person yet, you know, a permanent person, or maybe you had a person for a long time, you don't have a person now, don't give up hope. Here's the deal. Dating sucks until it doesn't. Dating's very digital in that way. Being that you can have all kinds of things that are great, but then there's that one little piece of the chemistry that's not there. There's one little bubble in the cauldron that's not the right bubble. And then it can go, and it really doesn't matter what it is. And this is a philosophy I've adopted a couple years ago, which is it kind of doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why it didn't work out. It just didn't work out. That's okay. It's such a complex, function. Getting two people to really match up and really be amazing together is a very complex algorithm. So don't, if it didn't work out, it's gonna. I mean, the other philosophy is if a dude on death row someone falls in love with him and then they get married while he's on death row, then I have like at least an outside chance to find someone who likes me. And the philosophy I've taken is be better. Be a better me. What I mean by that is whatever I can do to improve myself while I'm single, or even if I'm not single, right, is the way to go. So to do that, I want to make myself as well-rounded as I can. And really, I think one of the traits of an entrepreneur is that we all love to learn. We just love to learn from people that are mentors. Even with David, I mean, this year with him has been such a blessing because I call it a friendtorship. He's such a bud, but he's such a good guy to model. You know, he's got such a great and here's the number one thing when people say, "Well, who's David Wood and what does he do?" I say, "Well, here's David Wood. He's a guy that had his girlfriend, his ex-wife." Shopping together to go to his ex-girlfriend's wedding. That's who David Wood is. So if you can pull that off, I feel like you can pretty much pull off anything, right? I mean, that right there is like the Great Wall of China being built, as far as I'm concerned. And I know all of those ladies, and they're all amazing. So the fact that he has weaved that into a thing is unbelievable to me. So be better. And what I mean by that is... find a way to improve yourself. I love to use TED Talks, T-E-D, TED.com. I'll put it in the show notes, which I believe, what is this, show number 86, I think? So it'll be thekickasslife.com/86. So if you hear me mentioning anything in this show, if you just go to thekickasslife.com/86, then you'll get the links and you'll get the videos or whatever it is I talk about. So be better. I listen to TED Talks a lot. If you're someone who maybe you had a wonderful career going and then you had a family and you had to put it on hold for a few years, but you want to go back to school again, but you don't really have the time, iTunes University. You can go to iTunes. There's a little button if you search for iTunes U, or you can even go to Google and search for iTunes University. There are thousands, I mean thousands and thousands and thousands of lectures from some of the most brilliant scientists, professors, teachers in the world on every imaginable topic that you can think of. So you can literally get a Harvard degree from the comfort of your own iPhone or iPod or a computer at this point. So there's not a lot of reason to not be better, right? You want to be as appealing as you can to the outside world if you're a single person. And understand that two things that I take, I could list 50 things that I think about that David has taught me, but there's two that really stick out. One is that life is 10% of what happens to us, 90% how we respond to it. And in conjunction with that is we are 100% responsible for our own happiness. I'll say that again. We're 100% responsible for our own happiness. There are people that there's a lot of woe is me and a lot of, oh, well, this happened to me and this happened to me. And we play the victim. That victimhood mentality, Andrea Owen talked about it on her show, gets so debilitating to a human. It's so unbelievably debilitating to live in that space of, oh, these things always happen to me. There is no one else in the world that's going to change your environment better than you can. You are the one that has to change it. So a perfect example is I had lived in Denver for 14 years, and I'd visited San Diego a couple times. I had tons of roots and tons of friends, and I said, I want to live in San Diego. I don't want to shovel snow anymore. I'd rather visit the winter than live in it. So I'm going to move to San Diego. And I didn't have a ton of money at the time, and I didn't know where I literally didn't know where I was going to live. I'll tell you, I showed up here 1 year ago tomorrow in my car, and I stayed with my friend Sarah, and I didn't know where I was going to go. And I wrote a Craigslist ad and said, I was literally just sitting on her couch. I had no idea where I was going to go the next day. I wrote a Craigslist ad, and this woman responded to me 15 minutes later. I drove over to see, this is like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, drove over to see the house, loved it, moved in the next day. That's it. And I only did that because I said yes. And I said, all right, I'm up for an adventure. Let's do it. Let's rock this and see what happens. I didn't need everything planned. I know not everybody can live like that. It's just me and my dog. I get it. But there's something to be said for detaching from the outcome and being responsible. I was the responsible one. I could have been freaked out about the entire situation. Instead, I was like, cool, I'm on an adventure. Let's rock it. I just went through that a couple weeks ago, too. Anyway, so as far as dating and you know, Valentine's Day and things like that, it's that if you can improve yourself to the point where you can just be this really amazing, interesting person. I just had a date this weekend in the girl, who I really like, by the way, Kara, if you're out there, said, oh, I didn't know you were like this. I didn't know, you know, you were interesting like this or whatever. I can't remember exactly what she said, but I was very flattered by it. And I remember thinking, okay, that wasn't unintentional. You hear a lot, like, especially when you hear, like, you know, we just had the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago here in the States. They got so lucky. Well, I think the people that are really successful in life, they put themselves in a position to get lucky, right? And I've done that myself. I try to put myself in a position to, quote unquote, get lucky. And what I mean by that is, one of my favorite things to do, when I was working my network marketing business, which I'm not currently, but I will at some point again. I will definitely get back. I love the industry. David talks about it as a really great entrepreneurial industry, and I agree. I think there's no better way for people to build a business, but that's another call altogether. Anyway, what I would do, one of my strategies was I would go to the nicest place in town. So I'd find the nicest area. Like in Denver, I would go to Cherry Creek. In San Diego, I've been going to La Jolla or Coronado or Del Mar, which are all like really kind of nice, fancy areas. Lots of fancy cars driving around. Lots of people that have fancy watches and things like that. But you're surrounded by success, first of all. Les Brown said on his show, I think it was show number 13, if you want to be like successful people, do what successful people do. If you want to be like average people, do what average people do. So I want to surround myself. If it's true that we are the product of the five people we spend the most time with, I want to surround myself with bright, successful, interesting people, right? So that means I got to get to them. They're not just going to come to my house. I've got to go to where they are. So one of my strategies was I would take my laptop and I'd go to some bar, lounge, hotel bar, whatever, in a nice part of town. I'd go to a nice hotel, whatever, some nice lounge. I'd set my laptop up and I would do some work. I have a nice little happy hour cocktail or a glass of wine, and I'd hang out and I'd be in this environment where people were talking and, you know, it's just energy, which I loved. I loved the energy of a bunch of people. But the important part was I would have so many people that would come up to me and say, well, what are you doing? How come you're working? You're here like on a happy hour. What's going on? And we'd strike up a conversation. And that wasn't unintentional. I was in a high-end bar in a high-end part of town with a means to strike up a conversation with a mostly, usually, successful person. And even if I just wanted a conversation, there's always something you can glean from someone who has reached a certain station in life. There's always lessons there, right? So I would have so many doors that would open up because of those little happy hours that I would do. So that's one of the ways that I put myself in a position to, quote unquote, get lucky, because I did that. One of the my mom has passed on, but before she passed away, she and I had a really wonderful moment where we were talking on the phone, and she'd never seen the movie Good Will Hunting before. Now, Good Will Hunting stars Matt Damon, and it won an Academy Award. Unbelievable movie, one of my top five favorite movies. And Matt Damon in the movie is this really tough kid from Southie, which is a rough area of Boston, Massachusetts in the USA. And he's a rough kid, but he's also a genius. I mean, way off the charts genius with a photographic memory. So he is a janitor at a college. And it's not just any college. He's a janitor at MIT, which is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's one of the most prestigious math and science schools in the world. And he would just go around and like sweep the floors and solve these incredibly complex math problems that happened to be on the chalkboards. So he eventually got found out and picked up, and I'm not going to tell you the whole plot of the movie, but it's amazing if you've never seen it. The point is that he put himself, he could have been a janitor anywhere, but he was a janitor at the most prestigious math and science school in the world, or one of them, certainly. And so that wasn't by accident. So put yourself in a position for success. surround yourself with the people that are successful. That's how this works. If you've got people that are toxic and they're dragging you down, they're not letting you live your dreams, get them out. Get away from them. So whether you're dating or it's in business, put yourself in a position. If you're out of shape and you don't feel like you're attractive to the other, you know, to the person you're trying to attract, get in better shape. Go walk, go lift a weight, go do a push-up, you know? We're 100% responsible. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I want to get into this story of the kick-ass life because it's really, really, it's fun. And what an interesting year it's been. I mean, really full of, who knows, all kinds of really amazing things, cool opportunities, meeting amazing people. And more importantly, this is interesting. I don't think people realize, even though I produce the show and when I produce the show, I get the raw files. I've got to do all the editing on them. I have to do all the intros and outros and put the ads in and blah, blah, blah. Make it all so it goes on the web. But I don't actually listen to them. You know, they'll be like, well, what do you think of the show? And I say, well, I haven't listened to it yet. I have no idea. And how do you do that? Well, it's almost like a doctor. A doctor doesn't need to know the career of the patient they're working on. They just know how to fix the thing they're fixing. So I just kind of get in there and I do what I've got to do and I get the show up and then I listen to it later. Like if I'm walking the dog, I listen to it on my phone and for the first time, I'm a listener just like you guys. And I am so grateful that David began with, you know, the reach that he had, and we had these amazing guests on the show. And so now it's really snowballed, and we're getting some really amazing guests. And the learning, I mean, I'll tell you, if you want to make yourself better, you just go through these shows and listen to some of the shows. I've got some standouts. The Les Brown was my favorite overcoming adversity show. I mean, the stuff that he's gone through and the way that he reacts to it, the show makes me laugh because David has not cracked up that hard on a show ever. He's that's the funniest and the hardest he's ever laughed on any show. And I can't wait to get Les Brown back. Actually, he's going to be awesome. But Les Brown, Stuart Emery was great. John Assaraf, both shows. John Assaraf was last Thursday. He hosted this Thursday show, and it was amazing. And then, of course, his regular interview was really great, too. But in fact, if you're new to the show, and hi and welcome, and want to kind of catch up a little bit, I've put a section on the website called Start Here. And if you just go to thekickasslife.com/start, that will take you right to that section. And it's just a few select shows that we loved that really represented a lot about what the kick-ass life is. So if you want to catch up with a few, that's a good place to start. And also, if you haven't downloaded your free mindset training yet, that's at thekickasslife.com/free. And David has a whole thingy that he used to charge all kinds of money for, and we're giving away for free. So it's like a little downloadable training for you guys. Anyway, I'm not plugging things. I just want to give you a little insight into how I listen to the show, which is just like you guys do. So David and I worked together at a company for like 3 years, and I didn't know him at all, but we met when I first got there, and he's a really, if you can't tell by the mic, he's a really gregarious guy. Like, he's just fun and very tall. He's very tall. He's like 6'5 or something, 6'4, 6'5. And he's got a funny accent on him, so he talks like a funny person does here in the States. And for the longest time, I actually thought he was South African. I didn't realize he was from England, but that's neither here nor there. To watch him in front of a room of 10,000 people and not just speak, but this is the amazing, to be silent in front of a room of 10,000 people. For anybody that's done any public speaking, that's amazing. To have that much command over an audience and that much confidence on stage that you can just be quiet and let the audience just sort of simmer is really amazing. Really let a moment happen. Is really amazing, and that's what I think really attracted me, because I study one thing about me and how a lot of this originated. I'm a huge comedy fan. I study tons of comedians, and I'm a huge podcast fan. I've been listening to podcasts since there were podcasts, First, it was This Week in Tech. I think that was 2004 or 5. And then the Ricky Gervais show. And now I listen to mostly comedians. I listen to Adam Carolla and Bill Burr and all these guys. But David and I knew each other in kind of a third party way. And we'd spend some time. He's a really good guy. He definitely say, "Hey, Michael, how you doing? Blah, blah." And we'd talk, you know, and maybe we'd see each other and have a drink or something. But he knew me because I was a social media trainer. And I train people anytime where the person is the brand. So when it's kind of an independent person, I do a lot of work with people that are in the MLM or network marketing industries and personal trainers and lots of real estate agents and things like that. But I always thought about David as a brand, and I always thought, you know, I wonder, he's a really big fish in a pretty small pond at the moment. And he had reached out to me last year, about 2 weeks ago, a year ago, with a YouTube question. And so, you know, I responded and I helped him with his problem. And then I said, David, have you ever thought about really, you know, trying to take your brand global? You know, because he was talking about it. He was talking about, yeah, I would really like to do this. And I said, do you ever think about doing a podcast? And he said, what's a podcast? I said, all right. Well, it's a thing. It's like a radio show. And you can download it. You can put it on your, you know, your iPhone or your BlackBerry or your Android or whatever. And people can kind of take it with you. But anybody can download it from anywhere in the world. And he goes, well, we should talk about that. And so we put a little thing together. I put a proposal together. I knew I was moving to San Diego, so my time was going to be a little weird. But I also thought, how cool would this be to be able to build a brand around David? Like, you know, he's such an amazing dude. He's such a great trainer. I wonder if we can do something with it. So we, today, 1 year ago today, I was on the road. I was driving from Grand Junction to Vegas. And he said, let's do it. Let's, you know, I sent him a proposal, and he said, let's do this. So I'm psyched. I'm really excited, but we have no idea what's going to happen. And I had to pretty much, you know, lay it all out. Here's what we're going to do, and here's how it's going to work, and blah, blah. So I got here. I landed in San Diego and got all the gear for the studio, but we still didn't know anything about anything. We didn't know what it was going to be called or what we were going to do with it. And I needed to get to know him a little better because when I've done branding exercises before, and I should note that I was a web guy for 18 years and a designer and a branding expert long before I knew David. This is what I did. And so we started chatting and he started telling me a bit about, you know, his life. And, you know, I told you the thing about Jen and the ex-wife and the ex-girlfriend, but really, he came from, you know, very, very little. He came from a very little, and he really, and I remember saying to him, God, you know, you really have, you've got this great relationship with your kids and your girlfriend. You're financially, like, very free. You've got amazing relationships. You really have, like, this really kick-ass life, you know? And we both sort of stopped, and I said, ooh, I wonder if that's available. So one of the things you have to do when you brand anything is you've got to check and see if it's available. Like, it needs to be available on, you know, not only the web, you know, domain name, but it's got to be available on, you know, Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and all of the things, because you want to have one single brand across all the platforms if you want to be a thing. And I looked, and we'd gone through a couple of different variations, and it was totally available. And I was like, we have to grab that. So we grabbed it. So now I knew that we had a title. We knew that we were going to do a thing called The Kick-Ass Life. However, it's a bit edgy. He's a bit of an edgy dude. And, you know, he definitely wasn't sure. I wasn't even sure if it was okay to use the word ass. Like, we're using kick-ass. And he's like, can we bring a donkey in or something in the logo? Like, is there a way that we can temper this a little bit? And we asked a few people that are way more conservative, and they had no problem with it. So we said, all right, let's run with it. Not everybody's going to be happy. In fact, we had a message like, I don't know, a month or so ago from a guy that was so adamant that we were doing the wrong thing by using the word kick-ass. And I was like, well, there's a movie called Kick-Ass, man. Like, I can't. What do you want me to do? Anyway, so the next step was to try to get the essence of David and what he's about. So I flew up to Kelowna to his house, and I set him up with the studio that you hear him talking out of all the time. I knew that how to do that stuff because I was a, I've been a professional drummer forever, and I've been around audio gear a lot. So I got all the studio gear, and we went up there, and I set it up. But the first thing we did, which was so cool, is that to do what I needed to do, which is to, again, try to take this brand and do something with it, I needed to know him more than I did. So we went on a hike, and it was a two-hour hike, and I said, all right, David, start at the beginning. And he told me his entire life story. Like, I got everything in 2 hours. I mean, really, he was still talking by the time Jen picked us up 2 hours later. But by the time that hike was done, I had such a better understanding of what we were doing and what we were up against. And that was massive for me. That was a huge piece of how I was able to say, okay, I need to make a logo that captures what he's about. And so you guys have seen the logo. It's, you know, it's this island, which actually happens to be his island. That's the Thatch K. Belize picture. I took a picture and I digitized it. And I wanted the feeling. He's the kind of guy that you'd want to be under a thatch hut, sharing a bottle of rum with and telling jokes. Like, that's who David is. Because you'd get tons of insight out of that. So with the bright colors, and I think when people think of opportunity and they think of hope, they think of like, oh, God, and you rarely hear someone say, well, when I retire to Antarctica and blah, blah, blah. You hear people say, when I retire to my island. So they have this, I think the island represents an accomplishment, a destination for people. And if not even physically, it definitely represents a mindset. You hear that like hula music in the background, and you just kind of hear the waves, and your eyes are closed, and you feel the warmth of the sun and the sand, and that's good. That's pretty much where life is right there. And so I said, all right, I want this thing, I want the culmination of a kick-ass life to be this destination, this island destination. And of course, with David Wood, I said, David, I want your signature on this thing because this is really about you. So sign a piece of paper with a Sharpie and then take a picture with your iPhone and send it to me. And so he did that, and I digitized his signature and made it into the logo. And that was actually going to be a temporary logo, but I think we both ended up digging it, and now it's the logo. Like, that's what's happened, you know, a year later, is that everybody associates it with the show. And I went to a thing called Blog World in March in New York City last year, and we were brand new. But what happened, well, I'll tell you this in a sec, but we were brand new, but people had already known who we were, and they said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I produce this show called The Kick-Ass Life. And the guy goes, oh, The Island, right? I said, yeah, totally The Island. So that's when I was really validated. I'm like, okay, good. So the logo stood out. Anyway, so here's what happened. So David was cooking dinner, and I started messing around. I said, we need an intro of some sort. And I made the intro music while he was cooking dinner. So I did the music, and then I got his kids, Calvin and Ben and Jen, to come in and do. So when you hear those things say kick ass and there's voices happening, you hear his kids, Calvin and Ben, and you hear Jen speaking. And the idea behind that was, not only did I want the music to pump him up every time he heard it, but I wanted him to be so, like, he's so... and we're both this way. Like, I totally dig the intro. I love the intro to the show. Like, it just pumps me up, and I'm ready to rock. And that's how I want him to be. I want him to be, like, super excited when he gets on. And I think just hearing the voices of his kids and the woman that he loves, it totally pumps him up when he does the shows. So that's where the intro came from. And then the rest was really interesting because we went on, I think we recorded about three or four shows, and there was all kinds, tons of technical stuff, that glitches and stuff that happened, and, you know, and David's, this is a different deal. I can tell you right now, talking on the phone or talking here on the mic is so different than talking in person, but you get more comfortable with it as the more you do it. So, you know, there was coaching involved, and then he had never listened to podcasts before. So there were some things that I had to teach him, just protocol for podcasting, and, you know, in terms of like send people to the links and send people to the website, and, you know, but he's not a techie guy. So, I had to write this giant checklist of things that like precise, do this, then do this, then do this, then do this, just so he could get through the first few shows. And now he's a pro. Now he can just jump on. He's blending music in, and he's crazy. He's a crazy man. But we threw the show up. The logo didn't post on iTunes for like 5 days. We were like, where's the logo? But sometimes that happens. And then it finally went, and we got a message from Apple, and they said, hey, we love your show so much that we're going to put it in our new and noteworthy section, which was such a thrill. And they only do that with certain shows. You've got to have the right balance, the right stuff. So we did that, and we ended up going to number one in the self-help category of iTunes. And we were like number three in business for a couple days, and it just blew right up. Like all of a sudden, we were a thing. And now that sometimes is sustained. The more people that review and they do reviews, they subscribe to the show, the more that we stay on people, stay on that new and noteworthy or the top podcast. But we understand it's been 100 shows and not everyone's going to listen to every show. That's just how it works. But one thing you could do for us that would be hugely helpful, as long as I'm here, is share it. If everyone who listens to this particular show posted the show on their Facebook wall. And all you have to do is go, I made a special link. If you do thekickasslife.com/pod, as in podcast, P-O-D, thekickasslife.com/pod, if you just say something like, hey, this show is really great and it's been awesome, if you actually think that, and then put the link, thekickasslife.com/pod, that will take them right to iTunes, right to our page on iTunes. And they can listen to it and subscribe and stuff. Anyway, so we jumped out of the gates and all of a sudden had this unbelievable success because David had great guests and he is a master interviewer. If you guys listen to, a lot of shows your whole life, you'll see that David is really a phenomenal interviewer. And I'm to hear from guys like Tim Ferriss, who gets interviewed 1,000 times for his new book, and say that was one of the best interviews I've ever done. That's special. That means we got a guy that's doing it right. So what a year! And between the Facebook page and the engagements and these emails we're getting people that you would not believe. People that were literally suicidal. That said, hey, I listened to your show and it's given me some hope, and I'm going to stick around for a while. To think that is something that I even had a small part in. That makes me so grateful to just even know David and be happy that Steve Jobs existed and helped make this technology that we can use right now to share with people and open up their lives. So anyway, really unbelievable. And what we have in store for 2013, before I ring off here, is first of all, the Kick-Ass Life Adventure Club, I think he talked about. And that is a trip to Ecuador and the Galapagos Islands. Don't have dates on it yet. Don't have pricing on it yet. But reach out. Reach out on the Facebook page, davidonfacebook.com, and just say you're interested. I think we're sort of gauging interest. The other thing I want to do is, because we've got so many cool people in San Diego, John Assaraf is here. Jack Canfield is here. Pat Flynn is here. So we've got a bunch of Mari Smith, like a bunch of our guests. Amy Porterfield, who you haven't heard yet, but she's going to be on the show soon. All in San Diego. And so what I want to do is have a Kick-Ass Life weekend where we have like 5 amazing speakers. And it's a full thing. It's like a Friday to Sunday. You pay $300 or something. It's like a full kind of seminar weekend, just full of Kick-Ass Life and the Kick-Ass Life practitioners, just really rocking it. So that's what I want to do. And, I'm in convinced David mode about that at the moment. But I hope that he says yes, and I hope we can do something like that for you. So, anyway, we have so much more. But I'm already at 35 minutes or 32 minutes. So I'm going to let you guys go. We'll see you again on Saturday for the 602nd show. And I don't know who's going to be on it yet. I'm going to see if I can get a cool special guest host for 10 minutes for the 602nd show. And I hope this has been a little insightful. And I hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day. And you hug the person you're with. And if not, then go out there and hang out with your buds or your girlfriends and go have an amazing time today. All right? So, XOXO, as they say in Valentine's Day speak. And we will talk to you very, very soon. Have a kick-ass day.
That was kick-ass.